For me, he's never let me down. I don't know about you. He's never let me down. Every time, he's always been there. I've let him down so many times, but yet he's never failed me. This morning, I want to talk to you about your crazy Uncle Joe. Everybody's got that one crazy uncle in your life. He's great when he shows up to a party, but you never want to take him out in public. Everybody know who I'm talking about in your family? If you don't, hi, Joe. It's you. That one guy that you are so excited whenever he shows up to the holiday Christmas party because you know it's going to be fun. He has a way of livening things up, but you're embarrassed to take him out in public. That's that crazy uncle. I found out that I was the crazy uncle. A little story, a couple of years ago, we had the father-daughter dance, you know, at the school. And my niece and my daughter are in the same grade, and they go to the same school. Or they did, up until this. Well, how many remember the show Fresh Prince? I remember the Carlton. My brother and I, we led the entire school in the Carlton. Allie and Abe sat in the corner going like this. So, you know, they get it from both ways. They get a crazy dad and a crazy uncle. But I want to talk to you this morning about the Holy Spirit. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be discussing the Holy Spirit, and we have a tendency of not really knowing who He is. And when you want to get to know someone new, you have to, often the first step to getting to know somebody is you have to be introduced to them. Somebody who already knows the person that introduces you to them. And I want you to take you to Jesus, who knew the Holy Spirit better than anybody. If you would, go ahead and go to John chapter 14. And just stick your finger there for a moment. We'll get there in a minute. John chapter 14. But Jesus, if there's anybody out there that knew the Holy Spirit, it was Jesus. He knew him better than any human being who's ever walked on this earth. So let's allow Jesus to introduce us to him. From chapter 14 to chapter 16 of John contains a record of Jesus' conversations with his disciples. At the Last Supper, he's not teaching a large crowd of casual followers and gawkers. He's not debating the Pharisees or speaking with parables to the Sadducees, but he's rather having dinner with his closest friends. And Jesus begins with words of comfort. Don't let your hearts be troubled. I'm going away, but I will come back. Then in John chapter 14, and 16 and 17, verses 16 and 17, Jesus gets right to the core of what he wants these men to understand. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. The truth of the Holy Spirit living with and in us assures us that we never have to feel alone. The person the Father is sending sounds mysterious, but Jesus tells his disciples that the role and the nature of this person is to help. He also assures us, ensures them that the helper is no stranger, but rather he is someone they already know. And how will you know him? Jesus explains by saying this, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Jesus is using both the present and future words here. At that moment, Jesus was speaking to the disciples. They had experienced the helper dwelling with them, but that they were about to experience the helper in a new way by dwelling in them. See, we think the Holy Spirit is somebody who shows up on Sunday morning, somebody blabbers out a tongue, and somebody gives the interpretation. We have limited the Holy Spirit to just that. He's so much more than that. And here's the thing. It's too many of us, and I've been guilty of this a time or two in my life, whenever I have a visitor show up, or a friend of mine that's coming to church, I sit there and go, please, dear God, do not blabber anything out today. I don't want to scare them off. How many have ever been like that with your crazy uncle? You go and you bring him around, you know, you get a new girlfriend, and you're like, oh, God, he's here. He's going to scare her off. She's going to think we're a bunch of lunatics. So we have this small idea of what the Holy Spirit is. We've put him in a very small box, and he's so much more. His primary role, believe it or not, is not for somebody to blabber off a tongue and forgive an interpretation. His primary role is to be your helper. His primary role is to be your helper. How does the Holy Spirit help? In John chapter 14, 25, 26 says this, these things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Remember that. If you want to highlight that in your Bible, highlight that part right there. Teach you all things. And secondly, bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Notice here, Jesus again uses the word helper to describe the one the Father is sending. Here he lists two of the many ways this person will be here to help. First, he will teach you all things. And what a promise. Think about this. He can teach you everything he knows. I posted this on our Facebook page, a few days ago, maybe it was last week. There has never been a time since beginning to the end of creation that God will ever learn something new. That sounds crazy. He's never been up there in heaven and went, I just got an idea. He can't learn anything new because he already knows it. That, to me, I'm simple-minded, okay? Whenever I think about that, I go, wow. How can you already know everything? I think I do. My wife says that I try to act like it. I get proven wrong daily. Sometimes multiple times in the day. But he's never been a time whenever God just got an idea to do something. He's already thought about it. Before it ever came to your mind on how to fix an issue or fix a problem, he already had the fix for you ready. See, and that's what he's there to do. He is there to teach us, to guide us through every step. Next thing that he's there to do is the remembrance. All that has been said to us. First, he's going to teach you all things. That's just an incredible promise. There's no subject in which God is not an expert in it. He has all the answers. The second way the Holy Spirit helps is by bringing to your remembrance all that I said to you. Teenagers, listen to me. Listen to me. This is, if you study and you do your part, the Holy Spirit will then do his part in helping you along in the test. Now listen to me. A 5-minute prayer when the test is given to you is not going to do you any good. Okay? Adults, you can't sit there and complain at God that you're so deep in debt whenever you've done nothing to work your way out of it.
Amen.
Thank you. I'm not trying to be cruel, being honest. See, we want God to do it all, and God's sitting there saying, I'll give you the tools to do it. The tools. That means you still have to put in the work. You know, I tried the 5-minute prayer before a test. I was never successful. I remember one time I came home from school. My dad, he looked at my test score and he went, "How did you do that bad?" I'm like, "I don't know. I prayed." I prayed. He just looked at me like, "You're a moron." I did what you said, Dad. I prayed. Oh, help him, Jesus. I did. I thought I put in the work. I prayed and told God to do the rest. You said give it all to him. I gave it to him. There's that old song, give them all to Jesus. I did. I gave him every one of them tests. Gave them all to him, and I flunked every one of them. Look again at verse 26, and notice Jesus calls him the Spirit of Truth. Jesus presents the Holy Spirit to us, the ultimate answer to overcoming and undoing the work of Satan, the great deceiver and the father of all lies. Since Adam and Eve, mankind had stumbled and fallen to the lies of Satan. Then Jesus, who declared himself to be the way, the truth, and the life in John 14 and 6, announced he would send a helper who would make it possible to live a life free of deception. In John 16, Jesus gives the disciples his most thorough introduction to the Holy Spirit. He says this, "So wonderful is this one who will be sent," Jesus tells them, "that it is much better thing for you if I go away, because if I don't go, he can't come." How could it be possibly better for Jesus to go away? That does not make any sense. How could it be better for the one who healed the leper, who healed the blind, who's seen the dead ear, the deaf ears open and dead raised, the lame walking? How is it better that he goes away? That does not make any sense to me. And Jesus immediately explained that only he, if he goes away, the Father can send the helper. The helper is the one who will guide you in all truth and tell you of the things to come. Yes, a key role of the Holy Spirit is to lead us supernaturally into truth and to reveal what lies ahead. That is, Jesus referred to him as the helper in three consecutive chapters. See, if Jesus does not go away, y'all are just going to have to watch me hobble down here. I can't stand up here any longer. If Jesus does not go away, see, Jesus was 100% man, 100% God. Okay? How many different places could Jesus be while he was here on this earth? How many different places could he be at a time? One. By him going away, he then also says, whenever he is ascending, he says this, "All power, all of it, that has been given unto me, I now give unto you." Okay? And by him going, and the Father sending the helper, who can guide you and direct you in all things, it's like Jesus can be everywhere all at once. And you also have been given all of power, all authority under heaven and in heaven to bind, loose, set free, call out the dead, see the deaf ears open, you see the blind see, you can see the sinner saved, because all power, because he sent the helper. Because he sent the helper. See, we have limited the Holy Spirit in this small box where he wants to be so much more. You know you can be healed.
Amen.
You have the right and the authority to call yourself healed.
Right.
Well, Brandon, I'm still every morning having to take a pill for whatever. I still got to do this for my diabetes. I still got to do this for my high blood pressure. Okay. Call yourself healed. What's that old saying? Get a checkup from the neck up. Change your mind. Change your thinking. We have a butt problem. We got a butt problem. Well, but the doctor said, okay, I'm going to give you, I'm going to introduce you to the ultimate physician. Where he said, by my stripes, you are healed. He didn't say, maybe, could happen. If you really, 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 really hope for it, are. That's present. That's not future. That's not in the past. That's now. So in the morning, whenever you get up to give yourself that shot for your diabetes, or you go and you take that pill for your high blood pressure, or you take whatever it is, start calling yourself healed. Change your attitude. Change your thinking. Come in line with the one who said, I will be there to help you. He's more than just a tongue. He's more than just that. That's too simple. That's just too simple for the Holy Spirit. He's so much more. He's your wisdom. You don't know how to handle the situation in your life? He does. And I heard this. Well, you can't keep on referring to him as a person. He is. It's a living, breathing spirit. Thank you. To himself that way. He doesn't call him an it. He's got a personality. The beginning of a personality is person. Some of us may have a bad personality, but you still get to be a person. Some of us are grumpy people. I'm not talking about my wife in front of everybody, but I knew I would get an applause from the back. Thank you, Scott. Not everybody's as sweet and lovable as me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you again, sir. Your applause is appreciated. This word helper here shows up multiple times. It shows up in three consecutive chapters. The Greek word here is parakletos. If you want to write it down, it's P-A-R-A-K-L-E-T-O-S. This word shows up five times in the New Testament, parakletos. Here's a person who pleads your case like a lawyer before a judge. Someone who intercedes on your behalf. Think about that for a moment. He is a lawyer before a judge. So, whenever Satan is over here saying, well, God, here's what Georgia did. She lied, she cheated, she stole $5 from her grandpa and didn't tell him. She turned red. She just turned red. Check your wallet, Don. I was just trying to be, just using a example, but apparently I struck a nerve over here. So here's the devil. Guys, all this list of things that he has against Georgia. He's got a whole list of things that he can bring out on me. But we're going to talk about them because I got the microphone. Okay? And here he is. He's bringing it all out. Georgia copped herself an attitude when she was told to do something. When her dad told her to go do something, she walked away. Kiss my rear end, old man. I don't care. I'll do what I want. See, Jesus saw that. This will be the last week she sits up here in the front row. You won't leave, right? Because I'll use you next time. Okay, good. So here he is. He's got the whole list. And here's the Holy Spirit now. And Georgia just has to sit there and take it. What is she going to say? It ain't true. She just lying again. Okay? Now, it's time for the defense to stand up. The plaintiff had his chance. He read out the charges and how everything. All the evidence. Now, it's time for the defense to come up. I like this part. Because you know what happens whenever it's family in the courtroom? Kind of got it on your side. Just so you know. So he looks up and he says, "Hey, Father, you know her because of your son. And when you sent your son to that cross 2,000 years ago, he died because Georgia was going to cop an attitude. And she was going to take the $5 from her grandpa's wallet. He died because he knew that she was going to lie, cheat, and steal. And I just want you to know she accepted the offering. She accepted that sacrifice. So now, Father, whenever you look at her, that's all you see now is your son." That's who the Holy Spirit is. So now we know that he is there to help you by teaching you all things. He is there to bring things to your remembrance, those things that he has already taught you. So whenever you get flustered, you remember those things that he said. But now you also know that he is your lawyer. I don't know about you, but I like him to be on my side. Close with this. The Holy Spirit's role is very simple. Helper. He helps us know what to say and when to say it. Some of us need to really learn that one.
Amen.
It might be me. He is there to guide me in every aspect of my life. Not just the big things or not just the small things. I don't know why we seem like we can give him cancer, but we can't give him our daily life. We can only give him the big issues that we just were scared of. Give him everything, big and small. The Holy Spirit is always ready to speak. But the question is, are you always ready to shut up and listen? I had somebody come to me a few years ago and they said, "I never hear the Holy Spirit talk." Okay. Whenever you go to pray, do you ever get quiet? Because you know what? The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He is never, ever, 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 ever going to try to talk over you. In order for him to speak, you must first get quiet. So if the only thing you do whenever you go to him is talk, guess what? You're never going to hear him. If the only thing I did was sit and talk to my wife and I never let her speak, as soon as she would try to say something, I talk over her, eventually she's just going to get to the point where she does this and walk away. We have to be willing to be quiet. Hearing God's voice, it's vital to breaking out of the old comfort zones. It's vital in getting through exciting new levels of being effective. He already knows it all. Why don't we tap into the wisdom of heaven? He knows how to handle your finances. I promise you, he can handle them better than you. But you have to be willing to give them to him. He can handle your health better than a doctor. But you have to be willing to give him your health. It's not just about spiritual things for the Holy Spirit. He wants to be there for your mind, your body, and your spirit. I believe it's in chapter 4. I could be wrong. I think I'm right. It's in Matthew, and it's in Mark, and it's in Luke, and it's in John. But the specific scripture that I want, I believe it's in Luke. And in Luke, it starts off where Jesus is walking, being led by the Holy Spirit. When he goes into the wilderness to be tempted, it says that he is being led in verse 1. Okay. I believe it's then in verse 16, after he was being led into the wilderness, verse 16, he comes out being filled with the Spirit. See, it's one thing to be led by. It's another thing, it's another level when you're filled with him. Because you know what happens whenever you're following, you have to take the step wherever he is. But whenever you're filled with him, he just takes your step for you. He came out, was I right? Was it Luke 4? Yep. Luke 4. Choice is up to you. You can be led or you can be filled. See, the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. But in order for him to have an effective ministry, he had to then be filled. If you want to be effective to your family, be filled. If you want to have an effect in your finances, be filled. If you want to have an effect in your body and your health, if you want to change, be filled. If you want to see your loved ones saved, get filled. The choice is up to us, church. Stand with me if you would. Father, I thank you today for your people. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that we could come and we could worship you and give you praise in this house. And Lord, right now, I'm just asking that you would fill your people in this place. Lord, that your precious Holy Spirit would be with us. Father, there's some here this morning that are in need of direction, that are in need of wisdom. Lord, right now we know that you can give it to them. Lord, whatever the situation might be in their life, Father, Lord, right now we just give it all to you. Big or small, Father, Lord, we give it to you. Lord, right now I'm just asking that you would move and minister right now to the hearts of your people. If that's you here this morning, and you're in need of some wisdom in some situations in your life, this altar is open.